all agree with, and that is that there are a lot of opinions out there these days. You ask people what their opinions are on COVID, and one way or the other, you'll get an opinion. Politics, definitely. Spiritual things, yes. But it seems like you throw the topic out and people have opinions. And there's always someone more than willing to give you a piece of their mind as far as what they believe about certain things and the way things maybe are or should be. I don't know. It seems like I'm more confused today than I ever have been. I'll listen to one expert say something about one thing and another expert say something about something else. And it's a variety of topics. And I think maybe it's an unsettledness that we all have, just confusion. Don't know who we should listen to. My big concern is right now school starting. And it's not so much school starting and kids going back to school and health concerns, which I have and I know you have as well, but it's different than that. Kids are going back to school, students going back, whether it's elementary school, junior high, high school, college. And while there, it's really about what they're going to be exposed to. What are they going to be exposed to? Stuff coming out through curriculums or maybe certain state-mandated things that are supposed to be taught in a certain way in instruction. Throw in their friends, throw in social media, and it's just a lot of stuff to sort through. We're exposed to so much stuff every day. And I think it's getting worse where it just seems like there's always an agenda attached to certain things. So discernment is needed now more than ever. God is very concerned about where we allow our minds to go or what we expose it to. In Scripture, we are exhorted to have the mind of Christ. But you ask, well, what does that mean? I think it means that we would want our thinking to align with Christ's, that we would want our thinking, our mind to align with God's truth. The text I'm focusing on this morning is from the New Testament reading from Romans 12, particularly the first two verses, where the Apostle Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. I always liked what one paraphrase said, the way it put it, don't allow yourself to be squeezed into its mold, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You think of the word transform, you think it means to be reformed. Why? If you go back just a couple chapters in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. In other words, it can't. It can't on its own submit or desire that. Way back in the garden, Adam and Eve were told by the tempter, go ahead and eat the fruit. You're not going to really die. God's just keeping something from you. And it started there. The things that came to kind of mess with our thinking, to get us to mistrust God. You see, wrong thinking equals wrong living or wrong behavior. Our minds, as Paul said, can get stuck on earthly things. So we may need a realignment. Now we hear the word realignment or alignment, and usually we think in terms of what we do with our cars. You know, you take your car or your truck to the mechanic and they align the steering, because if you were to, you know, drive down the road and let your hands off the wheel, sometimes your car, you sense, is veering to the left or veering to the right. So they correct it so it'll just stay on the path or the course. But how does a car get out of alignment? Well, bumps in the road, potholes, different things that you may run over. But spiritually, the same thing. You know, spiritually, how can we get out of alignment? It's just all the things that we're exposed to as we go down the road of life. Our thinking can get misaligned. So, you know, what kind of misaligned thoughts could we have spiritually speaking? Well, maybe perhaps some of us have feared that God is ready to give up on us because instead of walking by faith, we've gone against his will. And God's given up on us. He's disappointed. Or we may fear that there's a limit to God's tolerance for our failures. We fail in some way and we say, God, I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. And over and over and over. Sometimes in certain areas of our life, we just keep coming back and say, well, God's got to just pull the plug. You see, God loves you unconditionally. He sees you through Christ. Paul also says in Romans 5, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You wake up one day and you feel pretty strong and confident in your faith. And then the next day, weak. You saw areas of your life that, why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I go down that path? But the reality is, God loved you just as much the one day as he did the next day. See, God's love is an eternal constant in the midst of the inconsistencies of life. The one reason we doubt is that we have this adversary who uses every little offense to accuse us of not being good enough and just loves to mess with our thinking. You're a failure. You can't do this. You think that you're this, but you're really not. But you have this advocate, Jesus Christ, who's more powerful than the adversary. And he's canceled the debt of your sin and my sin. It's like our mind has to be reformed or realigned on an ongoing basis. You don't get your car and you take it into the mechanic and say, all right, go ahead and do an alignment and think it's going to be that way, perfectly aligned for the rest of the life of your car. The same thing is true spiritually. There has to be kind of an ongoing, constant realignment. We need to recognize whose we are, what we are part of, and that we are to love and serve others. So how and where does this transformation take place? How is our mind renewed or realigned or reprogrammed? Well, there's a standard by which it may be measured. And that's against God's word. That's what God's word does for us. It helps us to realign. The biblical word that we use is repentance. And yeah, repentance has the idea of sorrow over sin, where we say, God, I'm so sorry, I can't believe that. I need your forgiveness, and I need your grace. We can say that for repentance, but more so it has more to do with turning or realignment. It's a change of course. It's a change of behavior in thinking or belief. And we have to submit or allow God to work. That's where this passage in Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes in, where we are told to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Where it's like we submit, we take and we lay ourselves on the altar and say, God, I'm yours. I'm all yours. All of me. He wants us alive. See, God transforms us from our minds outward, for it is in our minds that our goals and motives are formed and our actions are determined. And the transformation takes place by the Spirit's work in us through the gospel. Paul says, this is your true and proper worship. We think of that word worship, and worship really is our response to what God has done. You think, all right, God has done this for me. He has shared this with me. He is this for me. And my response to that is this. That's worship. This is what your response looks like. First, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, to go the way you want to go. Rather, I'm going to submit, I'm going to place myself on your altar, God. Living sacrifice. I'm yours. I like the way one person put it many, many years ago. This guy I knew when I was in school, and he says, the problem with a living sacrifice is it has a tendency to want to crawl off of the altar. But we put ourselves there. Allow God to give you a piece of his mind. And that begins, as we could see there, as we continue tracking through that 12th chapter of Romans. It begins with an understanding of who you are. Who we are. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I belong to the other people, the other members of this body, and I'm called to live for the common good of others. And then you start seeing things differently. There's a renewed thinking about the things of life that's different from maybe the way the world would see things. You think of success. But success is focusing on God's goals will lead to ultimate success, God's version of it. In Joshua 1, it says, do not let the book of this law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You think of significance and fulfillment. It's kind of doing things that last for eternity. It comes when we use our gifts and abilities to live beyond ourselves. You think of happiness. See, the world's concept of happiness is having what we want. God's concept of happiness is wanting what we have. Contentment. See, God says, I'll provide for you. I'll give you everything you need for your life. And it's looking at that and saying, God, thank you for your provisions. And I receive them with joy, with contentment, and security. The key to that is to depend on things that are eternal and not temporal. Anything you can point to in this world can let you down. Anything in this world can be taken from you. And if that's where all of the hope and focus is, that can lead to insecurity. Because security comes from what we anchor in, which is in eternity. And peace. The key to understanding that is it's primarily something that's an internal issue. It's not based on what's going on around us in external circumstances or outward circumstances. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it begins when we understand that we have peace with God. God's at peace with us. We're at peace with God because of Jesus. And then we know who is for us. So regardless of the circumstances around us, we know who's for us and who's with us. We can be at peace. And you take all these things together and you say, all right, today with all that's going on around us in this world, we need to have something that can keep us aligned. Because so many things can just jar us out of that. There's two main things that keep us aligned. Worship realigns. As we come into God's presence with his people, it has a way of recalibrating us and realigning us to where our thoughts should be. And again, what's been done for us in Christ. And reading God's word realigns us. I mentioned at the beginning my concern for people going to school. I have a challenge for all of you who are watching today. If you're starting school, I don't care if you're in elementary school, junior high, high school, college, a challenge. Every day that you are in school, I don't care if you're in a private Christian school or public school, doesn't matter. Every day that you're in school, you should also be reading from the Gospels. Pick Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and read something. Doesn't need to be a whole entire chapter. Maybe it's a part. But put yourself every day also in God's Word in one of the Gospels through this whole school year and read something from the life of Christ. Why? Because it's something that our parents tell us. We become like the people we hang around. Choose to hang around Jesus. And every day, as we're exposed to so many things that just kind of jar us in life, to know that I'm going to put myself where Jesus is and allow him to do that realignment work in our thinking, in our mind, in our life. My challenge to you this year, I'm going to take the same challenge and every day find myself reading something from one of the Gospels. So, we submit. And the call is to let God give you a piece of his mind in a good way, because he wants you to know his peace, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, and the hope that he gives. In the gospel, let him give you a piece of his mind. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.